here just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Here, you'll find answers to your questions about the Christian faith, the Bible, and trends in the church today, because truth matters. Hank is ready to take your calls, so get your place in line and join us on the show. Just call 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Christian philosopher Francis Schaeffer warned us that abortion would be the watershed issue of our day. He said that of all the subjects relating to the erosion of the sanctity of human life, abortion is the keystone. It is the first and crucial issue that has been overwhelmingly changing attitudes towards the value of life in general. Schaeffer's warning has tragically fallen on deaf ears. Truth is this: Roe v. Wade caught the church off guard. We were asleep at the switch. We were too ignorant of the issue, too divided among ourselves. And therefore, we as a church, as a body of Christ, did not offer a unified defense for the lives of multiplied millions of unborn children. Not pieces of protoplasm, children. And unfortunately today, we are in danger of being caught off guard again. This time, it's in the debate over the definition of the family. And if you've been reading the newspaper or watching television or paying attention in general, you know that what I'm saying is true. Or consider the statistics. In a poll, 49% who identified themselves as born-again Christians said that they thought it was fine for people to live with one another outside of marriage. 35% had no problem with sex before marriage. 28% found nothing wrong with pornography. 33%, fully one-third of all the respondents, felt there was nothing morally wrong with abortion. That is why I'm eager to put into your hands a new CD. We've titled it The Forefront: When Doctrine Meets Daily Life. When you support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your gift of $25 or $50 or $100, whatever God calls you to do this month, I want to put this resource into your hands. It will equip your brothers and sisters in Christ to defend the truth of the gospel. It will arm you with in-depth answers to some of today's most controversial faith issues. And we want to put it in your hands because truth matters. The CD, we're calling it again The Forefront, not only contains 6 interviews with leading experts, it also gives you bonus access to insightful, information-packed articles. Articles that come from our award-winning Christian Research Journal. The Forefront and the articles combined will enable you, will equip you, will empower you to define and defend the biblical concept of family, to combat atheism with the truth about objective morality. And that's really the problem. Is truth dependent on the size and scope of the latest lobby group? Or is there an enduring North Star, an objective morality You'll also be equipped to answer the accusation, which is increasingly being communicated by militant atheists, that the killing of the Canaanites is a form of ethnic cleansing. You need to be prepared to answer these questions. Your kids are being told this stuff. As the father of 12, I can tell you, your kids are being told this stuff. And if my kids came to me and I wasn't able to give them an answer, where would they be? If you can't give them an answer, you've got to be able to point them to an answer. We need to be equipped. Also on the forefront, explanation on the biblical grounds for divorce and remarriage. Why? Because we are called to protect and elevate the status of women. That's a duty of the church. The culture pretends to do it, but enslaves women. Christians need to know how to actually protect the status of women. It'll help you respond to the cultural influence of social media, how social media works, and what place it ought to have in your life. It will equip you to refute people like Richard Dawkins and other evolutionists who claim that evolution is proven fact. I think this is a CD that you'll return to time and time again for insight as you stand firm in your commitment to live a transformed life, not a life conformed to the pattern of this world. So please be sure to request your copy when you send in your gift this month. Let me thank you for your generosity. Without you, we couldn't produce the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We couldn't produce the resources necessary to equip this generation to wake up before it's too late. So request your copy when you send in your gift today. You can do it on the World Wide Web at equip.org, via the phone, 888-7000-CRI, or write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Keep the funds coming. We want to make a difference while there is yet time. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. If you want to get your question answered, the number to dial is always 888-ASK-HANK. Let's go to Sandra listening in Canada, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Sandra.
Hi. First of all, I want to thank you so much because you have clarified so many questions I have had. I haven't been listening to you for that long, but I want to thank you so much, and I just praise the Lord for your ministry.
Thank you.
My question is, I was saved in 1983, received the Holy Spirit, and had victory in Christ, having come from a very abusive, sexually immoral, child molestation background, I was saved. I had victory in Christ, and then I fell. And I fell really bad. And I always believed, even when I was fallen, even though I was living in sexual immorality, even though I was not in the church, having received the Holy Spirit, but I look at the scripture that says, I'm trying so hard to come back. I'm trying so hard to renew the walk that I once had. I look at the scripture that said, to those, I don't know the exact scripture, but it said, to those who have done good, to them they receive, and to those who have done bad, and they shall receive. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the exact scripture, but I haven't done good in my walk in the Lord. I've backslidden, and I know it torments me, like I don't know what awaits me if I die.
Right. Well, here's the issue. And what the Bible says is that, behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I'll give to everyone according to what he has done.
Yes.
But we are not saved by what we do. We're saved by a foreign righteousness, a righteousness not of our own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. So we're saved by the finished work of Jesus Christ alone. So if you can say today, Sandra, that you realize you're a sinner, that you repent of your sin, which is to say, you have turned from sin towards Christ. That doesn't mean that every room in your house, so to speak, is swept and clean. No, it means that you are willing, the operative word willing. You're willing to turn from sin and follow Jesus Christ. You're willing to do it His way. You're willing for Christ to be Lord and Savior of your life. If that is the case, then on the basis of His promise, you are His and He is yours. Whoever hears these words of mine, those are the ones who hear and believe and are saved as a result of that. And not only saved, but saved with the assurance that the promise is never based on your feeling, it's based on His faithfulness.
What about the scripture that says that those who have done evil shall... I have done evil, and I was born again, and I did evil.
Well, right. And you know what? You're not alone. The Apostle Paul himself says, who will save me from this body of death? Here we have the exemplar who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament epistles, and he is saying in anguish, who will save me from this body of sin? The closer you get to the glory and holiness of God, the more you recognize just how far in God's debt you are. Yes, you have sinned, and there's consequence to sin, but you are not saved by what you do. You are saved by what Jesus Christ has done for you, and that's why John, the faithful beloved disciple, says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know you have eternal life. The people who will not inherit eternal life, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. But this is not meant to communicate people who fall in sin. It is those who do not repent. Because the truth of the matter is, you and I, Sandra, are going to be sinners until the time that we die. We are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. As I've said many times on the broadcast, we're snow-covered dung.
Yeah.
That's the picture that we get from Luther. It's snow-covered dung. Think about dung. It's horrible. It's smelly. It's rotten. And then it's covered by snow, and you don't see it. This is what has happened to you and I who realize we're sinners, repent of our sin, and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and God does not see us in the context of our sin, but He sees us in the context of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And He is doing something redemptive in your life right now, which is to say, He is changing you from the inside out. Now, I can't tell you whether you had a said faith or a real faith. I can't go back and analyze that. But
Jesus Christ miraculously. Like, I received Jesus Christ. I had numerous miracles. I was so born again, but I had a house fire. I had a daughter that got desperately ill. I had a series of events, and I just kept falling and falling and falling. And when I fell hard. And I didn't go to church, and I didn't read the Bible. I ended up living with a man as a born-again Christian. I ended up living common law. I ended up getting into total debauchery, drinking, gambling. I fell. I really fell.
Sandra, I hear you. What I'm saying to you, though, is unequivocal. What I'm saying to you is this.
I never stopped believing, but I really fell.
Sandra, I understand what you're saying. I understand you fell, but what I'm saying is this. There's one who can pick you up. I can't analyze what happened in your life. I don't have enough information. I'm an electronic voice at this point. What I can tell you is this, that if right now you can say that you are a sinner, you repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ, He will not turn His back on you. He will carry you through the deepest, darkest parts of life, and He will redeem you, resurrect you to life eternal. And I can say that unequivocally based on His promise, not my word, but His word, which will never fail. Coming to Station Break, we'll be right back with more questions in just a moment.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but did you know that you can connect with us 24/7 with Web 2.0 technologies? The Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast invite you to join us in community and dialogue on the internet. You can find us at YouTube, follow us on Twitter, or become a Facebook fan and explore all that we have to offer by going to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or, as always, you can contact us by phone at 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man returns after this short break. Don't touch that dial.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what He promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. For over 50 years, the Christian Research Institute has been entirely supported by people who've been blessed by our resources and choose to share that blessing with others. None of this would be possible without you. We know that a monthly gift is a big commitment. Not only is it a financial sacrifice, but when life itself gets busy, it can be hard remembering to send your gift each month. And that's why we've created simple, secure, automated giving opportunities through your credit or debit card. And to thank you for this service that you perform that is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God, you will receive a free subscription to our award-winning magazine, The Christian Research Journal. To sign up today to become a Bible Answer Man support team member, go online to equip.org or call us at 888-7000-CRI.
Thank you.
Right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, you've heard Hank Hanegraaff interview outstanding contributing writers to the award-winning Christian Research Journal. Well, now we've put the best of these interviews from 2010 into one exciting audio CD. For your gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, we will send you The Forefront, When Doctrine Meets Daily Life. Learn how to define and defend the biblical concept of family. Combat atheism and the truth about objective morality. Answer the accusation often raised by militant atheists that the killing of the Canaanites was God's ethnic cleansing. Explain how the biblical grounds for divorce and remarriage actually protect and elevate the status of women. Respond to the cultural influence of social media and its place in your life. And refute Richard Dawkins and others who claim that Darwinian evolution is proven fact. To order The Forefront, When Doctrine Meets Daily Life, simply call 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. Well, now let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a reminder to join us on the Alaska cruise if you can. Steve Camp, Elliot Miller, and myself, yours truly, all part of the Alaska cruise. It's going to be a breathtaking event. For more information, visit our website at equip.org. You'll find the number to call there, 877-768-2784, extension 101. Again, 877-768-2784, extension 101. If you're not at a place where you can write that down again, you can find that number on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Dale in Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, Dale.
Hi, how are you doing, sir? Hey, I don't see any surprise here with the statistics you gave, seeing that most churches I've been to say that the law has been done away with. Well, if it's been done away with, what difference does all this make?
Well, you have to be careful when you use the word law to define what you're talking about. To say that the law has been done away with is certainly true if you're talking about civil and ceremonial aspects of the law. Jesus Christ himself said that it's not what goes into a man's mouth and out through his body that defiles him, it's what proceeds out of the heart. In saying that, he declared all foods clean. Therefore, the ceremony...
He did not declare all foods clean.
Oh, well, let me read you the text. I just turned to it.
The text is misunderstood, but he did not make bad foods good. That is not what that means.
Okay, what does it mean to say, in saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean?
Okay, are you saying that? Are you saying
no? No, I'm asking you to explain it to me because you're saying that's not what it means.
Food declared by Yahweh God is that which is edible. Anything that he declared unedible, be it pork or something that does not have fins, is not food. And therefore, you should not eat it. That has never changed. All his laws are the same.
Okay, but just a second. Do you think it's important to check the context at all? Not only in terms of the immediate context, but also the broader context of Scripture?
Right. That's what's not being done. That's my argument, not yours.
What's your argument with respect to 1 Timothy 4?
I'm driving. Can't look it up.
Oh, you're not aware of it?
You have all that in front of you.
No, I don't have it in front of me. I'm just asking you about it. But okay, let's go to the passage itself that you're talking about.
Yes.
Explain the context and how you can say Jesus did not declare all foods clean in the context.
Okay. What's the context? Give it to me.
You don't know the context?
If I don't, that's fine. Just tell me what the context is, and we'll discuss it. But see, well, here's
the point, though. Here's my point. My point is not to put you on the spot, but you're making a categorical statement about something you don't even know the context on, and I think therein lies the danger, and that's the point that I'm trying to make. But back to the larger point. The larger point is a point that you have to understand. There are civil and ceremonial laws that are abrogated by the coming of Jesus Christ, and to continue with those civil and ceremonial laws, when Christ has come, the writer of Hebrews relegates to something on the order of trampling on the sacred blood of Jesus Christ, which is something we don't want to do.
So that's when you go back to the old shedding of blood for remission of sin, not for obeying His word.
No.
If you're interested, I can send you by email the written out argument, if you're interested.
The what argument?
I say I'd be glad to give you my written out argument about all this, if you're interested.
Well, there's no necessity for that. The civil and ceremonial laws, if you read through Scripture even once, you know that the civil and ceremonial laws are abrogated by the finished work of Jesus Christ. So we don't go back to temple, priest, and sacrifice. We don't go back to civil and ceremonial laws. But we do recognize that there is a use for the law. The use for the law is to maintain order in society. The use for the law is to reveal sin. It is the schoolmaster that drives us to Christ. There are moral aspects of the law that are significant as Christians for living out the Christian life. But as Christians, we do not have to be involved in laws that were part and parcel of a theocracy. If we are, we'd be stoning people to death if they ate pork. We would be stoning people to death if they lit a fire on Sunday. We'd be doing the kinds of things that we find in radical Islam under the pretense of a theocracy. So I don't think we want to go there. That's not what the Scripture teaches. That's an abuse, a misreading of the Scripture. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Derek, listening in Springfield, Missouri. Hi, Derek.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I had a quick question for you.
Sure.
You made a comment about Left Behind, and I agree with you mostly on that whole analysis of that series. And you went on to describe Revelation and some of those events of how the book describes it. I guess I got a little confused in there, and I was wondering what exactly then would your view be on Revelation? Is it figurative to you? Is it some figurative, some real, you know what I mean? Where are you going with that whole
Well, let me give you an overview, but before I do, let me say that Revelation is not a mere book of riddles that originate from a shallow post-Christian mind. It's a book of symbols that are deeply rooted in Old Testament history. And unfortunately, in modern-day history, we mistake the meaning when we fail to hear the background music of the Old Testament. So if you don't know about the Tree of Life, referred to in Jesus' letter to the church in Ephesus, then you're going to mistake the meaning, or the 10 days of testing in Smyrna, which find a referent in Daniel, or the heavenly manna promised to the church of Pergamum, which first fell from heaven in Exodus, or the Jezebel who promoted sexual immorality in Thyatira. That's a mirror image, of course, of the idolatrous Jezebel in Kings. So it's important to understand the Old Testament context. But in general, in answer to your question, the book of Revelation is the unveiling of a bride. And so it's a wedding covenant from first to last. It begins with seven love letters to a persecuted bride. In other words, seven love letters to true Israel. And then it continues on with a noxious vision of a prostituted bride. And that's what we have in the Old Testament as well, communicated by the prophets as apostate Israel. So you have in graphic Old Testament pictures the judgment of God that's written on a seven-sealed scroll, and it's announced by seven angels with seven trumpets, and it's depicted through seven plagues that befall a prostitute that's in bed with a beast. And then it concludes with the unveiling of a purified bride. In other words, true Israel. She's carried by the bridegroom over the threshold of Jordan into a new Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven from God. So Revelation is the unveiling of a persecuted bride. True Israel represented by the faithful in seven churches in the province of Asia who are about to face the full fury of a beast that's bent on the obliteration of the church. And so we see in the book of Revelation that those who forsake their first love may suffer persecution, but those who do not forsake their first love, though they suffer persecution, in the end will reign with Christ 1,000 years. So the persecution, by and large, is short. The vindication is an everlasting vindication. And so there's a purpose to the seven letters. It's to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord in a historical milieu in which Caesar was hailed as Lord. So you have a Caesar cult. You're supposed to say, Caesar is Lord. Instead, the Christians said, no, not Caesar is Lord, Christ is Lord. And as a result of that, they're going to face the full fury, not only of the beast, but the woman who rides the beast. In Daniel, the woman was the one who was being Hellenized. In other words, not true Israel, but apostate Israel. The same thing is true in the Roman context. You have people who want to be part of the culture rather than change agents in the culture, part of the kingdom of God established by Jesus Christ himself. That's what's going on in general in the book of Revelation.
So do you foresee a tribulation, like a literal seven-year tribulation? Do you see a literal millennial reign of Christ?
I do not personally see a tribulation or a millennial reign of Christ, and I'll tell you why.
So you'd be considered all millennial then?
No. See, this is what people jump to as a conclusion. It is a wrong conclusion. I'm not all millennial, but I do not hold to a seven-year tribulation, and the reason I don't is I don't find it in the biblical text. If I found it in the biblical text, if somewhere I saw Jesus Christ returning in some kind of a secret coming, and then 7 years later in a second coming, and if I saw a warrant for a 1,000-year semi-golden age with a rebuilt temple and Jesus Christ presiding over it, and then a great apostasy that takes place at the end of the world, if I saw that in the biblical text, I would promote it and teach it.
So do you believe that J. Vernon McGee, is he just mistaken, or is it old? Some of these old men that really, he's got some great books I've even read.
Well, the timing of the tribulation or the meaning of the millennium is something that we can debate vigorously. Ultimately, we don't have to divide over. But remember, whether J. Vernon McGee or anybody else teaches something, you got to test all things in light of Scripture. That is the final court of arbitration. And then hold fast to that which is good. That's what we're called to do as Christians. To aid you in that process, I've written a book. It's called The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. It's available at equip.org. We'll be right back with more of your questions.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which reaches millions of people. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers answers to over 170 questions that typically stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Get your copy of this 550-page leather hardbound book packed with answers you need to more of today's challenging questions about the Bible and Christianity when you call 888-7000-CRI. Also, for your gift of $100 or more, receive a personalized copy. order on our secure website at www.equip.org. We'll return to the program in just a few moments.
When looking at the night sky, you're not just looking at stars and planets. You're looking at the very fingerprints of God. The cosmos presents irrefutable evidence of God's design, genius, and majesty. You'll find this evidence in The Privileged Planet by Jay Richards. The Privileged Planet presents an amazing supply of evidence to show that our planet is perfectly fit not only to support life, but also to point to the existence of the giver of life. You're taken on a scientific odyssey from a history of tectonic plates and solar eclipses to our location in the Milky Way, the laws that govern the universe, and much more. It will prove that not only do science and faith mix, but science points to faith. The Privileged Planet, available on DVD right now when you call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to equip.org.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The millennial generation seeks to grasp moments of experiential transcendence from the offerings of consumer culture. By following the culture's life script, young adults place themselves at the center of a disenchanted universe, making themselves idols. Get a better understanding of Generation Y in the article titled Looking Under the Surface of the Millennial Generation. Friedrich Nietzsche is the patron saint of postmodernism and may currently be the most influential of the great philosophers. Learn how to respond to Nietzsche's anti-God, anti-truth philosophy in Hendrik van der Breggen's article, Awakening from the Nightmare. Other topics include Mormon evangelism, theistic evolution, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Our passion and purpose at the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers worldwide with the truth about cults, culture, and Christianity, so that when faced with distortions of the truth or false teachings, it is instantly recognizable. But we need ministry partners to both pray for our work and to partner with us financially. Would you consider joining the Bible Answer Man support team? These monthly donors are the backbone of our financial support for our broadcasts, publications, and outreach activities. To stand with these dedicated ministry partners, call CRI today at 888-7000-274. You can also join the support team or find out answers to your questions by going to our safe and secure website at equip.org. We now return to today's program. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I want to mention something in concert with what you just said, and that is that by God's grace, we were able to wipe out a huge mountain of debt last year. And God provided through his people in a miraculous way. That debt was entirely wiped out, 100%. Unfortunately, in January, we spent more money in terms of broadcasting the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the many other outreaches that the Christian Research Institute has. We spent more money than we took in, which means that in January we had a deficit. That means we have to catch up again. So I say all of that to those listening who believe in this ministry and have the opportunity to make a difference with many other people by joining the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. And right now, when you do, I send you the next 6 editions of the Christian Research Journal as my way of saying thank you. So it's a way of saying thank you and equipping you at the same time. So if you can join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, make a huge difference. We need your support. You can join in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org or write us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Rick next, listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Rick.
Thanks for taking my call, Hank.
Pleasure.
I recently had a discussion with someone who believes that you can lose your salvation.
Yeah.
And I disagree. I believe eternal salvation, once saved, always saved. One verse that comes to mind is, no one will ever snatch him out of my hand.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know if that was CRI's belief, and if so, if you could give me some scripture references that could support this view.
Well, yeah, it is my belief, and you certainly have picked a good one, John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29, but there are other fantastic verses. For example, I think of Philippians, where Paul praises God for the confidence that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Or 1 Corinthians 1:8, the promise that Christ will keep you strong to the end. Or Ephesians, which provides the surety that you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. So I think, to go along with John 10, you have Philippians 1:6, 1 Corinthians 1:8, and then Ephesians 1:13 and 14. There are many other passages I've written about this in an entry in the Complete Bible Answer Book titled, Can Christians Lose Their Salvation? The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org. Back to the phone lines. Ken, listening in Louisiana. Hi, Ken.
Hello, Hank. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Nice talking to you.
Good to hear your voice. I haven't heard you since California, which has been a while. I'm recently back in Louisiana. I've been on the West Coast for many years, but I acquired your phone number through a radio station out of Texas, driving through interstate. And I'm glad I have your phone number and can get back in touch with you. The question I have goes back probably about 10 years when you were probably still in California. It concerns Father Abram, mm-hmm. You know, the Chaldean tribe, Abraham. About that time, around 10 years ago, I don't remember who, where, when, but when I was on the West Coast listening to a minister, he made the statement, you might be surprised to know that Abraham was not a Jew. At the time, it did not relate to his sermon. It's just a statement he made that was general and something he was, you know, teaching or speaking about. And it didn't really catch my mind. And now I've been praying on that 10 years later for some reason. It came in my mind. I researched the Old Testament, New Testament, my Bible dictionary, everything I could, and I can't find anything on this.
Well, what the pastor said was correct. Abraham was from Ur of the Chaldees, and his name was not even Abraham, it was Abram.
Okay.
God changed his name to Abraham.
At the time of the promise, right?
Yes, he would become the father of many nations, not the father of just a nation, but the father of many nations. The first Jew you can legitimately call a Jew was Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. Remember that epic story where he wrestled with God? And from Jacob, we have the 12 tribes of Israel.
Yes, sir. In my studies, I went through that. Okay, I'm on land then, because I called one of my brothers in California that we'd been to several Bible colleges together and I don't know how many conferences, everything, you know. And we discussed it. And in that discussion, the only thing we kept going back to, we knew he was from Ur. We knew that the promise was made there. We knew that when he made his trip, that his name, you know, he and his wife's name both were changed. But I just couldn't come to it. I kept coming to where the Chaldeans Jewish, you know?
Well, no. Again, you go through the line from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob's name is changed to Israel, and then he becomes the father of 12, the 12 tribes of Israel. By the way, Ken, something I wanted to tell you as well, based on the prologue to the question, is you can listen to us as you're driving through the country on Sirius 161 and XM 170 as well. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to David listening in Grandview, Missouri. Hi, David.
Hi, Hank. Gosh, wonderful to talk to you. I'm just ecstatic. I've been listening to you for, gosh, 15, 16 years, so it's an honor and a privilege for sure.
Thank you.
My question is in reference to deliverance ministries, specifically to as to whether or not they can be considered valid in and of themselves. Clearly, the Bible gives much information on demonic forces, demonic oppression, and even states that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. So, having said that, I think what I'm specifically asking is the ministry of deliverance in and of itself biblically based?
Well, it depends on what you're talking about, because there are a lot of deliverance ministries, unfortunately, in Christian churches. And I would say, without any equivocation whatsoever, that is not biblical. Unfortunately, it is a fascination with demons in the culture at large that has led to this robust deliverance movement within evangelicalism. And, of course, you'd be hard-pressed to come up with a better scheme, because whatever the problem is, whether it's depression or substance addiction, there are exorcism or deliverance ministries that claim expertise for dealing with it, and they give you a significant bonus, which is, for the most part, you're not held personally responsible for the problem. Indwelling demons are mainly to blame, and then getting rid of the demons is the key to moral and psychological redemption. In other words, you can say, the devil made me do it. You don't have to take personal responsibility. But if you're genuinely a believer, you'd never stand in a deliverance line. The reason being is that if you are a believer, then your temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit. In other words, your temple is the temple of God. It would never be inhabited by a demon. Certainly, demons can harass you, they can tempt you, but they can't possess you. You are the possession of God. If you are, yes.
And I understand that. That makes perfect sense. What I've been made to understand is that, no, a Christian cannot be demon-possessed. However, a Christian can be demon oppressed. In my estimation, just from my own experience, too, I don't think I can. I'm the kind of person that goes around thinking, okay, there's a demon under every rock, meaning the demon of the flat tire, the demon of I lost my job, the demon of I got a cold this morning. I see an awful lot of people, attributing stuff to the demonic realm, which I just don't think that's biblical. However,
well, not only not biblical, it's very dangerous. If you say I've got the demon of cancer, and you go to a deliverance service and they cast out the demon of cancer, you don't have to go to a doctor.
Right.
Becomes very, very dangerous. And I think that the language that you're talking about in general, David, is sure, you can use all kinds. You say, well, okay, they can't possess you, but they can oppress you. Well, yeah, I mean, it depends on what you mean. Is it true that a demon can tempt you? Of course it is. Through mind-to-mind communication, that's why we're told to put on the full armor of God. So it really depends on what you mean by that language.
Okay. What I've experienced recently is I've made a friend, appears to be a very strong believer, but he's very often to the deliverance ministries. He's a part of that. I began attending his church just occasionally, and you know, the first thing that popped into my head was the whole counterfeit revival thing, Benny Hinn, just all kinds of stuff. I tried to approach it with an open mind, and I even prayed to God. I'm like, God, you know, if you have something there for me, you know, let me receive it. Let me have the ears and the eyes to just really see what's going on here and be able to discern. I question my ability to discern sometimes, especially when it comes to issues of this nature. But in a nutshell, it was basically the gentleman got on the microphone, went through a list of different things that people had written down that they believe they were either oppressed or possessed by. Cast those all out in Jesus' name, and of course, everybody around me, except for myself, you know, was hacking up in the trash cans and screaming at the top of their lungs and shrieking out. And you know, of course, I'm the only one in the room who's got complete composure over myself, and you know, it left me with just a lot of questions. The first being, okay, am I holding on to anything, or is there anything that you know, is oppressing me that didn't leave, or is this all just a bunch of hooey and people are, you know, buying into this whole emotionalism thing that happens a lot of times? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, it is a bunch of hooey, as you put it, and I think it's not only hooey but dangerous. What you want to do is make certain that if you are battling the world, the flesh, and the devil, you don't do it on the basis of selling and sensationalism, but rather on the basis of the scripture. I've written a book in this regard. It teaches you how to exercise the spiritual disciplines, just as Christ modeled them during his earthly sojourn. The book is titled The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. I think it will be a great help to you. It not only demonstrating the falsity of the deliverance movement, but also learning how to wage spiritual warfare in a truly biblical sense. Thanks for tuning in. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll see you next time right here with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer difficult Bible questions, and strengthen believers in their walk with the Lord. To find resources to help you, log on to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts. Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of animals? Filmed on four continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information, information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
Don't all religions lead to God?
What is truth?
Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for Students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.